Inspector, you successfully completed an honors BA in psychology at York, an MA in criminology from the University of Toronto, a PhD in law from Leicester University. Can you comment on the significance of your dissertation titled Criminal Fantasies, the Risk of Harm in Canadian Child Pornography Law?
I'm just so excited that you actually know that I did that, because I think you're the only person other than my mom who knows something. But It's a long title for what it is. What I was really looking at the time was the way that law was changing around the issue of child pornography. Because at the time, from a technology standpoint, child exploitation was the only thing where there really was legislation out there. The kind of stuff we've been talking about today didn't exist when I started my research. So it was really interesting to see the way that the law evolved in Canada, as well as to compare it to what other countries were doing to see how it was different in different places. So that's sort of the overall research that I was looking at.
Could you elaborate what the differences are in the approach of different countries?
You know, what I found was that Canada's legislation was most closely aligned with what Australia and the US and the UK were doing, but there were key differences, and those key differences surrounded whether or not you could prove that a particular image involved a real child or was digitally created. Because if you look at how innovation has changed things. We've talked about how criminality changes things. Well, you can actually use software now to create an image that looks real. So how do you manage that material from a criminal law standpoint? So that's the area where I saw some real differences from country to country. And I think in time that will catch up and we'll be able to deal with that in a more consistent manner. But it was because every country approached that particular piece differently. That was the significant difference I found.
And what is Canada's approach in that piece as you elaborate the difference between creating an image and an image being real?
Right now, there is a space where, you know, you can have an image that's not real, but what the law looks at is your intent in having it. So you can have it for different purposes that are legal, but that's pretty rare. I'm going to suggest to you that if you're not sure whether you should have something or not, you probably shouldn't. So for an example of where you could have something legally would be a prosecutor or a police officer that's looking at it for a case, right? There might be times where it's looked at for another issue like research, for academic research. But even then, the field is very, very narrow. So Canada errs on the side of you really shouldn't have it generally.
Okay, thank you.
It gets complicated, so that's why I'm not elaborating on that too much. And
of
it's
course.
A space that every case that comes out changes things a little bit. So the law, the case law that existed even when I started my research was different than when I finished. So I'm going to suggest that if it's something you don't think you should have, then you probably shouldn't. But that's an interesting space to be looking at in terms of stuff that's created digitally that we're not sure whether it's real or not.
As an adjunct professor at the University of Guelph, Humber, for the past 9 years, you have taught courses in police and society, in crime and criminal justice, in criminological theory, research methods, in federal legislation, investigative technique, youth crime and policy, and gender issues as well. What is the best advice you can provide students interested in pursuing a career in policing?
I think we've talked about some of those things already today. I think policing is the best career out there. I've had so much fun being a police officer. It's interesting work. You can make a positive impact on society. You get the privilege of being there to assist victims of crime, which is such an important, you know, responsibility to have. People call you when they're at their most vulnerable and difficult moments of their life. So that, and then preventing crime, as we've talked about, is just so important. The idea that you could actually, once you see that victimization, you want to do everything you can to try to make sure that people don't have to go through it. So I would encourage anyone who's interested in a career in policing to do so. It's such a great career. I've loved it. What I would say is that you really need to look at your life holistically and think about things that might prevent you from getting into policing. So, you know, it's a space where you can't come in with social media accounts, because we've been talking about this today, that are filled with all kinds of stuff that show you doing things that you shouldn't do. You shouldn't do things you shouldn't do. But
exactly.
But even things like, you know, if every post you got online is you out drinking on the weekend, even if you can legally drink, well, that's going to be a red flag. because we're in a high-risk environment, and if you are someone who's out partying all the time, that might be really hard for you to manage. So there's a good reason for us to be looking at that. You know, you want to be looking at your education. Education is becoming more and more important. Police are looking at skill sets that are needed in Toronto right now. So, for example, the ability to speak other languages, languages other than even English and French, are national languages. So, you know, unique languages that other people don't have. I mean, we are really the globe. The international community is all here in Toronto, which is such a great thing. It's one of the things I love about Toronto. But that means we need people that can speak and relate to people from all around the world. So we need people with those skill sets. We also need people that have cyber and technological abilities, right? If, you know, some of the people that I brought onto the C3 team when we were putting it together, you know, these are people that are police officers, they've been investigators, they've got that really great investigative experience, but then they also worked in the tech industry prior to coming here. So they're people who can code. They're people who know how to look at issues from, you know, a different background. They're people that might have extensive... There's nothing wrong with having social media accounts. Some people get scared and they go off it completely. But if you're someone who actually has really great capacity and has really a really exciting digital presence, and it's, you know, it's a positive digital space, that's a great thing. So looking at cyber abilities, I have someone who was interested in getting on the job, and his backup career is he wanted to get into... technology, and in particular coding. So he finished university and then went and did a master's, specifically in around, you know, ethical hacking and coding. Really, that's a really interesting candidate for policing. So, you know, language is really critical. Your own personal background, looking at, you know, whether or not you've had problems with the law in the past, that's going to be a problem. And then, you know, looking at the abilities that you have, including language and technology.
I think that's an interesting point that you made, gaining that education and having the knowledge of different languages is so essential in government work and policing and, you know, in teaching. I know you know multiple languages, you know, Spanish, English, French, Italian. And with your law degree, you plan on pursuing the field of law. And I think that, you
really,
know,
because I was going to ask him if he wanted to join us.
Join the police! You should!
See, there you go.
There you go. There's a job potential. Yes, so I think that having that education, having that knowledge of many languages, and then also understanding the demands of the job. Policing is a very rewarding career, I think. And at the same time, there are a lot of challenges, but I think it's the type of profession where you're constantly learning something new every day.
Absolutely.
And you're provided with that opportunity to collaborate, to work on team projects, and to be a leader and to make a difference in the community that you're serving. What would you say are some of the most rewarding and at the same time a few of the challenging aspects of perhaps pursuing a career in policing?
So some of the most rewarding things are that you're going to have an ability to make a difference in people's lives in a really meaningful way. And there have been several nights in my career where I've gone to bed and thought, wow, like what an amazing day that you could change the trajectory of someone's life, either because you prevented something or because, you know, this horrific thing happened and you were like right there with them, you know, helping them to navigate this really awful thing that's happened to them, potentially putting an offender in jail, right? I did child abuse for years, and I'll tell you, you know, leaving a courthouse knowing that a victim that couldn't come forward when they were 5 because they were terrified that came forward later, you know, got up that courage and came forward and was able to get justice in the courts. Like, those are, you know, really big things to be involved in, and there's just nothing like it. What I'll say is that the challenges are high because you don't always control the outcome, and, you know, there's times where you leave court and, you know, maybe that child came forward and then you couldn't get a conviction because their memory wasn't very good because of what happened to them when they were so young. And they know that it happened to them, and, you know, they've been traumatized. And yet, you know, there's a difference between being a victim and having experienced these awful things and then being able to get a conviction in court, which is beyond a reasonable doubt, right? And our justice system balances things in that way so that we don't put someone in jail who's innocent, right? I mean, it's an important balancing point. But it's difficult because you're involved in these major, major occurrences, and sometimes they don't work out for good. So you have to be able to manage that psychologically because you're the one there explaining to them why things worked out the way that they did and what you think they need to do now and trying to get them the support that they need.
I think also in policing, you have to be not only ambitious and hardworking, but you need to understand that there are risks associated with the job. Every day that you go and every day that you serve the community, there's a possibility that something can happen. But at the same time, there are long hours, the demands are high. However, I think that if the youth who are listening to this podcast today, if you're interested in pursuing a career in policing, I think that it's certainly valuable to understand the requirements and what skills are necessary.
You need to know yourself too, because I think you made a really interesting point there, which is it is a very stressful career at times. So if you're someone who doesn't handle stress well, if you find it difficult to deal with, you know, big issues, right? If you get really stressed out during times when people are arguing and you have difficulty coping with stress, particularly in high-impact situations, this may not be the career for you. And it's important that people know that, because we have our own members who are suffering as well, who have experienced victimization, who are suffering from things like PTSD. And that's something we have a comprehensive wellness program with the Toronto Police Service. I think it's really important to think about before you get on the job, before you invest the time and the effort. Is this really a career for you? Because I think it's the best job in town, but, you know, I'm a unique person, and it's certainly not for everyone. You've got to think about that.
I think there are a lot of opportunities, too, for youth to take part in co-op placements. That's something that's provided to a lot of high school students and college, university students. I think before you decide if you want to pursue a certain profession, it's always good to have someone, a placement that you can complete. And at the same time, it's useful to have a mentor, someone you can speak to and ask questions about the profession, determine whether it's a right fit for you. But there's nothing better than to be hands-on and to do that, see what the job is like, because it's one thing to be in a program and to complete, let's say, an honors BA in criminology, legal studies, and then to go on to become even further educated, and then to complete a police foundations program and to think in your mind that policing is the right thing for me. That's one thing, to be book smart. But I think it's essential for you to look at potential volunteer opportunities, look at any co-op placements that might be available. Now, there might be certain divisions that don't have those openings or are already full, but there are services, there are programs out there that provide the community with an opportunity to perhaps become involved in volunteer work. And I think what better way than to investigate those opportunities, see what it's like to do some work for the police department. Because even if you're not going to be on the job, you're not going to do what a police officer is doing. However, you will be in the environment.
Right. So there's civilian opportunities you might not be aware of either. Opportunities to work in policing but not be a police officer.
Yeah, so that's one of the main points that I always emphasize to anyone who asks me about advice if they want to pursue a certain career. That's like the main thing is,
I agree,
unless you see it and unless you do it, then I don't think anyone should jump into it without understanding the requirements of the job.
Yeah, and it's a big investment of your time and energy to get yourself there and then find out you don't like it. So better to know in advance when you can still shift course easier.